This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Lucky Number Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
So here we are. It's Tuesday, and the Bi-Mart Christmas book for the week of this week is out, and there's all kinds of good stuff in it, including ammo.
Well, and of course, here we are in the final, you know, what, less than 2 weeks run up to Christmas.
I know. And I'm, are you all done?
Oh, I'm not even. I've barely begun. Come on.
I know you're a guy. You're a guy. I ordered a bunch of my stuff and I've kind of mostly done, but now I got to go get it at the post office or figure out where to pick it up. So I'm kind of in that mode right now, but I'm pretty much done. We don't do a whole lot.
No.
So, yeah, you know.
Well, and what, there's two people under your roof, there's nine under mine, so.
Right, and with the extended family, we don't buy for the cousins and things. Once you hit 18, it's like, sorry. And then you can go and participate in the gift exchange that we all do. But I think I have one. I have one kid gift to buy.
That's what we're doing this year for the very first time now that four of the 10 grandkids are at an age where they are 18 and over, so yeah now there'll be a white elephant gift exchange for the olders, and the young ones will get their gifts from grandma. But at the same time, because of our timing and that we have to travel to see extended family, we can always wait for the after Christmas sales to grab up that stuff.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so you're traveling too. Yeah, we're traveling as well. We're going to be in Olympia, hoping that the passes are all okay and the highways, because this Pacific Northwest, man, the weather is giving me agita, Hunter. I have major agita.
Well, I don't think anybody can blame you at this point. You know, of course, we've been talking about, you know, we have a new atmospheric river coming in, which, if you're paying attention to what's going on up in you know, Washington state, it's causing some massive flooding and major damage in parts of Washington. And you know, that's the challenge is you get these things coming in and they really just drench everything and they make everything soft and wet and muddy. Yep. And then if you add things like high winds and other things, now all of a sudden things that are normally very sturdy are moistened up to the point where they're a little more willing to give.
Yeah, yeah. It's given me agita. So, of course, that makes travel difficult. I know I've seen some things coming out. I have a niece that lives up there. The Snoqualmie Pass has been kind of weird, and roads are washing out. And so it's really, really quite frightening. It looks like after this next couple of days, things are going to get back to sort of like normal winter. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'd rather have it be below zero and snowing than this crap.
So, well, I think most people would. It's a lot more fun to play in and see than just everything soaking wet and windy, but yet mild enough temperatures where, you know, you can go out middle of the day without a coat on.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy weird. Well, today is also, it's National Chocolate Covered Anything Day, and I think that's kind of appropriate because I think maybe to make me feel better today, to soothe my agita, chocolate covered everything.
Well,
I'm just going to dunk everything in chocolate today.
Just whip out the fondue pot, melt the chocolate into it, and just find random things to, you know, poke and stick in there.
I like it. I'm going to have a ham sandwich for lunch, but I'm going to dunk it in chocolate.
My kids would probably love that. I mean, it's like a giant Oreo. Come on.
Well, it's also National Stupid Toy Day. And I'm like, what's a stupid toy? I'm trying to think of stupid toys. I mean, there are a lot. They're just not that fun. I mean, I remember a lot of dangerous toys. I grew up with clackers and lawn darts and creepy crawlers where you're basically pouring plastic in and baking it in 400 degrees and hoping that you don't, like, burn off a layer of skin.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm going, as an adult, you sit there and you look at what your kids are playing when you go, that's a stupid toy left and right, but your kids love it. So is it a stupid toy? Because as an adult, you're like, what's the point of this thing? Whereas your kids are like, it's the most entertaining thing in the world.
Yeah. I don't know what they meant by it. I maybe I'd have to go look, but yeah, it's also a day of reconciliation, which is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, forgiveness and making amends. You know, a lot of us were, you know, hoping for some of that after all the COVID crap and mm-hmm. didn't really get it, but you know, but it is the day mm-hmm. to do that as well. I'm kind of going with chocolate covered anything day though.
Well,
that's what I'm celebrating today.
Well, back in 1773, there was a big party. Maybe they covered things in chocolate then, or maybe not.
Well, I know they soaked their crumpets, of course. Yeah, it was the day of the Boston Tea Party. Oh, that kind of kicked off a whole bunch of stuff. I'm in 1949, Moscow and the Soviets welcomed Chairman Mao at the Kremlin. Fabulous.
And in 1960, two planes collided midair over New York City. 134 people died on the planes and on the ground.
That is horrific. Absolutely mm-hmm. horrific. On this day in 1976, President Jimmy Carter appointed Andrew Young as our ambassador to the United States, the first African-American man, black man to hold that role.
Okay. And then in 1998, President Bill Clinton ordered airstrikes on Iraq over the lack of cooperation with the UN inspectors.
Was this the one where they were targeting aspirin factories?
I think so. It was, you know, because we remember, you know, once the war in Iraq was declared over, it was like, well, the inspectors get to check out your facilities, yada, yada. And then, of course, there was always that, well, we don't really want you here. Come on.
Well, and also, it wasn't 1998. Yeah, that was the year of the whole Lewinsky scandal, too. I wonder, you know, distract. Don't pay attention over here. In 2003, President George W. Bush signed the Canned Spam Act. I had to look that up. So apparently it was like to keep misleading things out of subject lines, like, or porn or that
or
kind
emails.
Of stuff. But I'm still getting spam. I mean, I get a lot of it. So
I just sit here and I go, it's like, you remember when cell phones first were becoming the thing and they did mm-hmm. that, you know, you can call this number and register your phone and then you won't get spam calls.
I do remember that.
And I'm kind of going, the problem
is
all of these spammers, they look and they find every which way around what you're trying to stop them from doing.
I forgot about the mm-hmm. do not call, that you were supposed to do that and then you were supposed to not get spam. I get more spam and I get, in fact, just yesterday I had six spam calls.
Yeah.
And my phone just dumps them, doesn't even let them come through. But one of them went to voicemail. And even when you try to block it, they'll just change it and they keep. I hate it.
Well,
same thing with spam emails. There's so much garbage.
So one way they get around all of this stuff, and here's the challenge now, is if you click on anything. So virtually, if you go into your social media and you see something that maybe it's some story that you think you want to read, and it turns out that it's really not a news story. It's a, you know, whatever, just a clickbait virtually. Once you click on it now, you've opened the door for them to approach you about those things.
Yeah.
That's how they get away with it. And because everything now is, you know, via social media, that's how they work all that around. Or if you... you have to call about something. Now all of a sudden they get your number on their call list and now they can spam call you. I mean, they find ways to just get around it all by convincing you that this might be something that interests you.
You know, and then of course your timeline, if you click on something, because I clicked on something that I was interested on, it almost feels like if you leave it seen on your screen for longer than normal, aha, we got her.
Or
she loves us.
Or how
we're
about
gonna talk to her all the time.
Yeah, or how about this one where you're like, you know, you're scrolling through your social media, something else occurs, you drop the phone into your pocket and you come back and realize that your butt clicked on whatever it is what you're looking at.
And then you got a million ads for, you know, rain boots or whatever it was mm-hmm. you were looking for.
Yep. We should probably mention this because the third version of this film is coming out here in I believe like 3 days, and that is in 2009 when Avatar premiered. It was a kind of a boring, predictable storyline, but the GCI was very, very cool.
I went and saw this. We saw it in the theater. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which theater, one of the Regals in Salem. We went and saw it, and it was very cool. It was a packed theater. The special effects were great. Again, I think we've talked about this. The storyline was so thin. You know, the what is it? The white soldiers are bad, and the
white
Avatar,
industrialists came in.
Yes, and the military, and they're raping the forest and stealing all the resources, and it was like yawn, and it was boring. Didn't care about any of the characters. My understanding is that version 3 isn't any better, the special effects. But everything is CGI now, Hunter. Everything is.
Yeah.
It's like, yawn.
So we went and saw, and I don't think it was this one. It might have been the second one.
Okay, what did you think?
In, well, when we saw it, and I would have to rewatch it to remember a whole lot of it.
It's like fast food.
So the other day, some members of my family were watching it because, you know, they want to go see the third one because it is visually, especially for the little ones.
Yeah.
So they were watching one and I'm like, is this the first one? No, this is the second. I'm like, I can't tell the difference. But we did see it in one of the theaters that has kind of the wraparound. So like when you're in these underwater scenes, there's fish and other things swimming along the sides.
Is there one of those in Salem or did you have to go
this
to Portland
for this
that?
Was in Bend during the family Christmas visits. So
did it make it different? I mean, again, the special effect, you have to wear the funky glasses and the special effects are cool.
I don't wear the glasses. You didn't have to wear the glasses in this one. The way the theater was set up, it's got...
But you get the 3D.
It wasn't 3D, but it had like the outskirts of what you were seeing was projected on the side wall.
Oh.
So it had to be the second one because that's the one that took place in the water now that I think about it. So when they were swimming and going underwater, you could see things on the right and on the left that they were passing in the water.
See, I think it would be cool to see that in the sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like what you're describing on steroids. I had some friends who were in Vegas over Thanksgiving and they saw the Wizard of Oz in the sphere and they loved it. But then it's like the Wizard of Oz wasn't made for the sphere. So all the perspective was off and the way, shots are framed and things like that, where you've got a close up on Judy Garland. Well, how do you do that when you've got this screen that is the size of 6 football fields or whatever? So they had to fill it all in. So I guess it was just kind of a weird, jarring, maybe not a great experience. I don't know. I still want to go to the sphere, but I think something like this would be really cool there and probably an IMAX too.
Well, and probably the challenge with something like the Wizard of Oz is it was barely designed for a television set, let alone.
Right, it was made for a theater. And again, when you're looking at the way the director did shots, when you're trying to expand that out, you have to fill in. It's like, I didn't need to see the ceiling in the castle when they're drowning the witch with the water. Mm-hmm. Or how do you fill in when, the rest of the sepia tone when it's really a tight shot? So it's really interesting and the challenges are there. They'll get there though. Mm-hmm. But all right, let's go ahead and take a break. Oh boy, we talked yesterday about President Trump's tweet about Carl Reiner. We'll touch a little bit more on that. I don't want to dwell on that so much, but I just want to talk about it a little bit more. So you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
All righty. Okay. Rob Reiner. It's Rob Reiner. And again, we're talking yesterday and horrific, horrific murder, allegedly at the hands of their son, who just doing more research on that, the mental health, the drug abuse. I mean, really, really. And these what I'm gleaning from a lot of the reading I'm doing on this is these are parents that tried everything from tough love to easy love to getting him and read. I mean, I heard it was like 15 to 17 times. So this is horrific on every, and I can't even imagine as a parent with everything that they tried to do with their son, having what, that last scene and that rage filled face, I'm assuming as the last vision that they had on earth. Everything about this is heartbreaking and horrific. Yeah. I don't care about the politics of it all. I just don't. This is a horrifying thing to happen to any family.
Well, on a personal note, I did have a cousin pass away a couple of years ago from drug addiction, major mental health, very bipolar.
Yeah.
And her mother, before she passed, my aunt did everything humanly possible. She tried to get her committed, and everything else. But once you hit adulthood, and unfortunately, that's the way our system is now, it is almost impossible, which, so many people that are living on the streets today, it's a mental health is their primary issue. Yep. And if we could find a way to get them the help they need. And unfortunately, when you're in that scenario, it has to almost be forced, but we do not have the ability to force any longer. And that's,
or they make it so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And so, the response really, and this is the story where the headline on this story from the Western Journal is Trump's post on Rob Reiner's death was a massive misstep. Well, the vast majority of MAGA posts got it exactly right. And that's really what I'm seeing. I'd comment on my own social media where I'm like, I don't know anybody who's celebrating this. I'm starting to see some now. And frankly, I'm unfriending some people because there's some, it's like, really, you don't need to go there.
Yeah, there's no point. And that's what we talked about yesterday is death is the end all. When someone passes away, there's no longer a point to make the snarky jabs and to, you know, have that mentality because they're no longer with us. They can't defend themselves. And especially in this form and fashion, it's like, it is horrific and it's sad. And it's a scenario that could affect every one of us at any point. And realistically, when you're dealing with addiction and mental health crisis, his death probably had nothing to do with his political views whatsoever. It had to do with the challenges of raising someone who has mental health challenges and who suffers from addiction.
Yeah, yeah. So we're not gonna rehash Trump's truth. Are they called truths? I don't know.
That's what they're called.
Okay, so that came out. And so there's a lot of backlash. He was asked about it at a presser, and he kind of doubled down on it. So I'm going to leave that. But I want to do the premise of this this editorial is the writer is saying, but even if you feel that Reiner did deserve Trump's response, which to be clear, I do not, nor do I. I don't think you do either, Hunter. There's no denying that Trump made two critical tactical errors with his ill-worded eulogy. And this is where let's focusing it this way. First, there's just no way to sugarcoat it. Trump may have single-handedly tanked the 2026 midterms by alienating swaths of on the fence voters. I know a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of like, okay, this is kind of going okay. Really can't stand it, but this policy's good. I'm concerned that the tough guy rhetoric and sort of the trash talk that everybody, in fact, I didn't like it back in 2016. We all know the mm-hmm. history of that. That this is going to have far-reaching damage on the political playing field as far as for the midterms. And that would be disastrous. And we've got a left-leaning Democrat-run Congress with lame duck for 3 years, none of the policies going through, impeach, impeach, impeach. So I don't,
it's what we talked about yesterday. You have 20% that's going to never like Trump no matter what he does. You have the 20% that is going to follow him no matter what he does. And you have that 60% of the population in the middle that have their own opinions that are going to like and dislike things that are going on.
Wait, I would have to say that even within that 60%, there's a good portion that aren't paying attention at all.
Yeah.
But, and something like this could pierce their
yeah, exactly. La, 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 because this is now combining politics and Hollywood at the same
exactly.
time. And
exactly.
I sit here and go, you know, and that's the challenge is, You can defend Trump on his policies, you can defend, but he makes it so hard to defend him as a person.
Yep.
And unfortunately, so many people want to cast their vote based on a person, not a policy.
I'm seeing this all over. Well, where do you stand on what he said? As if you or I had anything to do with crafting this stupid tweet. I'm just going to call it a tweet. Or anything to do with anything behind it. We don't. But now it's like, I have to answer for it and explain it?
Well, and that's the thing. I've actually had those conversations, not about this one, but about other scenarios of, well, what do you think, you know, what about what he did to the reporter and making the handicap gestures and this and that? Gosh. It's like, I'm not here to defend him as a person. There's more to that story. You can do your own research on that.
Right.
I'm here to defend him as a politician implementing policy and leading us to a more peaceful nation.
Well, then I basically, there's a account I follow. I shared his. It's like, you know, I don't regret my vote, but I wish he'd just shut up sometimes. Yeah. Just stop.
I said
there's
that
a time and a place for this stuff.
I said that in 2016 and 2018 and 2020. It's just like, shut your mouth. And let your actions do the talking.
I know you want to just go shh, shh. Okay, secondly, again, this is westernjournal.com. Secondly, Trump just gave, and this one too, gave the establishment media exactly what it wants, anti-Trump content for days. And boy, are they, he handed it to them on a silver platter. There's celebrity pundit after, you know, analyst. And they're so upset. Which, again, on the left lecturing us on decorum and tact, shut up. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to hear it from those people. Please.
But with this,
but
they're open the door
exactly
to do
what's
it.
What's out there in the media universe right now, wringing their hands over Trump's unforced error. And so he goes on to say that it means less coverage for the horrific Bondi Beach shooting or the Brown University shooting, which are issues that require laser focus. It's just going to be more of Orange Man bad content on a loop, and I'm exhausted by it. And again, it was unnecessary. The tweet that came out, that first line, scribble out everything in the middle on the last line. That should have been it. And I want to know, where's Melania? Does she like, hey, honey, maybe sleep on that. Maybe put it over there for a while. Go take a walk. Where was Melania?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, that was my first thought that goes into my head where I'm sitting here going, you know, we know that Joe Biden had ghostwriters whenever they put anything out on social media. And we, you know, I assume that Gavin Newsom's even got like a team that posts their stuff. And all these politicians have people. They're not posting on themselves. With Donald Trump, I'm like, I just have this feeling he's posting it himself. He's sitting there, you know, because the guy only sleeps like 4 hours a night at most. Uh-huh. He's sitting there late at night going, let's see. I've got a few minutes. Let's go ahead and find something to post. And I'm just going, he needs somebody, a buffer.
He does, and he's done it in the past because this article talks about the time that Trump responded to, so eloquently to the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And he says that that's far closer to the real Donald Trump than the way in making Reiner's death about himself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether it was just a bad day. And on the other side of it, I mean, you get that he's no fan of this guy. But again, it was just, it was very tone deaf. It was really poorly timed. And again, with the two points that this author makes are very real, and we're seeing that. All I'm seeing now is everybody talking about it. There were some great takes on it, though, from people. I mean, Adam Carolla, James Woods talked about it, I believe, on Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
And talking about how you can be friends with people that you don't agree with and actually love them and be colleagues and be civil and talk to them and actually enjoy their company. It is possible.
Yeah, and that's what we need to get back to more of. And unfortunately, we need the president of the United States to kind of be a beacon of that. And I just sit here and I go, you know, I fully agree with the opinion writer in his saying that, you know, I would much rather have gruff Trump who makes these mistakes than people that are talking and saying all the right things while they gently destroy us from inside. So
absolutely. 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 It was just a missed opportunity. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA and Home.
All right, so I saw the headline today. This is really good news. U.S. crude oil drops below $55 a barrel, hitting its lowest level since early 2021. Yay! Gas prices are coming down. It's so wonderful.
I can't wait. I'm looking so forward to that $2.39 gallon of gas I'm going to be able to get really soon.
I've seen $2.65, but screech, halt, nope. Scratch, take the arm off the record. Wait, happening in Oregon.
Are you saying I got to use a tank of gas to get out of this state in order to
go buy gas?
To go buy a gallon of gas? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone is like, why is Oregon's gas pricier than in 46 other states? I mean, you just have to cross over the border of any of the western states and you're back in, you know, normal land with gas prices.
That's what's so frustrating. I'm sitting here going, you know, we have the fourth highest gas prices in the nation behind California, Hawaii, and Washington State.
Yep.
And with Hawaii, I can understand it.
Yeah, they got to ship it in. Okay.
That's right. I can understand. Hawaii, I take off that list, even though they are a very liberal state. But why is the West Coast, especially when so much of our crude oil is coming out of Alaska and northern Canada,
right.
where we're closer than like Maine and Virginia and Texas?
Well, there's no refineries. The last one shut down in 08. So Oregon, everybody on the West Coast relies on a single Washington pipeline and aging infrastructure. And then wasn't it over the Thanksgiving holiday? Mm-hmm. There was a threat. Was it a leak?
I think it was a leak and they had to shut the thing down.
Yeah, right at the peak travel season for the holiday. Mm-hmm. Also, Oregon has 60 cents plus in just taxes on a gallon of gas.
Yep. And then, of course, the 2024 Clean Fuels Program added 7.5 cents per gallon to that.
Yeah. And then they changed the blend. So I don't know what that is all about. Somebody who knows more about fuel will know, but costly summer blend fuel. So it costs more in the summer and then a tight supply and a fragile system. So that all adds up to the fourth highest gas prices in the country.
Yeah. And I sit here and go and like we said, there's 60 cents gas tax and then 7.5 cents for the Clean Fuel Program. And there's always those other little fees. They don't call them taxes. We don't get to listen to taxes. But, you know, Oregon has a few fees they include in there. And I'm just going, I mean, we talked about it, when was it, five, 6 years ago when the gas prices were soaring. Oh, wasn't that long ago, 3 years ago, when gas prices really started soaring. And one of the recommendations was, hey, let's pause Oregon's gas tax for a little while to give relief to Oregonians. And
I remember that conversation.
And the governor nixed that one, Kate Brown, nixed that one real, real fast because we just can't have that.
She was such a peach.
You know, relief for Oregonians? Come on, we'll just form a task force and pay people to tell us how to improve our economy.
Yeah, anything that might provide relief to Oregonians, we don't even want to hear about that. Anything that provides more stress and more angst and agita, that's what we want. So somebody on the thread was saying, oh, the cap and invest, cap and trade program, cap and rack, cost charged by those that import fossil fuels to Oregon. That's added on top of all those as well. So someone here is saying they're paying $4 a gallon. I've seen $4. Washington is a little bit worse. Mm-hmm. Try not to ever buy gas in Washington if I can avoid it.
Yeah. No, I literally for Thanksgiving holiday, one of the two cars, because we're a big enough family, we take two cars everywhere we go, made it there and back on one tank of gas. The other one couldn't quite escape from Washington State before we had to get some gasoline.
And it's interesting. It depends on if the gas station is on tribal property or not, because then the tax isn't applied on the tribal gas. And where we go, they're literally in the same complex, and one is significantly higher. And yet I still see cars there getting gas. Like, aren't you all over here at this one? It's like 30 cents cheaper.
Yeah, well, I always... I've been in that scenario. I had people that swore on either going to Costco or Fred Meyer, especially when those gas stations first opened up, and they were 10 to 20 cents cheaper than anywhere else, and this and that and everything. It's like, I did it one time. I'm sitting there going, but waiting in line for a half an hour is not worth the 20 cents I'm saving a gallon. That's where that comes in.
And that's a very real metric. So, I mean, I don't see anything changing on what's being listed here. Again, I want to give a shout out to Ben West. That's his tweet that's laying that out over on X. That's Ben for Oregon, Clackamas County Commissioner. Well, One of the good guys.
Well, it just adds into what we talked about a couple of weeks ago where, you know, our governor right now is pointing the finger at Washington, D.C. and kicking and screaming and saying we need to Trump-proof Oregon and everything is the federal government's fault and Trump is bad and yada, yada. But yet 30 years of Democrat leadership have led to no natural resources being utilized in the state of Oregon. Even our flowing rivers are no longer as useful as they once were because they would rather put up windmills and solar panels all over the place. And then you add in that the cost is constantly going up, whether it's gas, whether it's anything else, because guess what? Our Democrat leadership of 30 years, they're the ones who affect us at the street. And we need to keep punching that message in.
Well, I mean, speaking of Democrats and what's happening in almost 40 years of single party rule, obviously, given a co-tax, that $4.3 billion boondoggle. Because, you know, nice roads you got there. Be a shame if you couldn't drive on them. Representative Ed Deal tweeted out, victory for no tax Oregon and all Oregon taxpayers. You've got that tweet up. Wicked, amazing. The mojo behind this and the passion of the people to say not no, but hell no.
Yeah, well, and I have to go back because it's not a nice road. It's serviceable roads you've got there.
Yeah.
because we can't say that here in Oregon. So the no tax Oregon and the Oregon taxpayers have had a huge victory. Representative Ed Deal said they just received word from the Department of Revenue. They're pausing the planned doubling of statewide transit tax set for January 1st. Why? Because on Friday they turned in 194,000 signatures. They only needed 71,000.
Bravo.
For petition 302 to refer House Bill 3991's massive tax and fee increase back to the voters in November of 2026.
I mean, bravo to everyone who was out there. And it was a huge effort. People were everywhere. There were pop-ups everywhere. There were, I know in Marion County, the Marion County GOP was all over that. They had people and volunteers everywhere getting those signatures. Bravo. And I love that it's this massive amount of signatures so far over. It's just like, you wanted signatures? Here you go.
Yeah. Well, and of course, he did put in the warning because they are counting the signatures now and verifying. So it's pausing it, and it will remain in effect till, you know, once it qualifies and for the ballot and then is voted on in November. But he does say stay vigilant. The governor deliberately delayed the signing of this bill to limit our time to gather the signatures. Now the Democrats will try every trick in the book to undermine the people's voice.
Right. We talked about that, too, that, you know, oh, let's just move it to May. I don't know how legally they can do that, but when has that ever stopped them? Let's just do it and, you know, we'll beg for forgiveness later or just ignore it and hope nobody remembers.
Well, I don't think they would move it up to May, but I could see them finding a reason to delay it to the May of 2027.
Yeah, I don't know. But Representative Deal is absolutely right. Remain vigilant. But I just, you know, bravo on this effort. And there were a lot of people. I know it was Senator Starr. It was Jason Williams, Representative Ed Deal. And then again, it was just volunteers, moms, dads, business owners, party people, Republicans, Democrats. It was not a partisan issue. This is ridiculous. This will just cripple the state. You've already got the drat sucking sound of businesses just fleeing Oregon. You imagine it would have been just a tsunami of people fleeing.
No, yeah, it would have been businesses closing their doors. It would have been residents packing their bags. It would have, yeah, I'm sitting here going, our neighboring states, Idaho, Montana, even into Nevada and Arizona, they would see these giant population pops while Oregon becomes a wilderness again.
Right. People that are, you know, wealthy enough to not necessarily care about it, or those that are on the other end of the spectrum that have no means of getting out. My thought is for the people stuck in the middle who timed the market wrong and couldn't sell their house. Yeah. So it is a reprieve. You do need to stay vigilant. And again, congratulations to everybody involved. That was awesome. Little shift, not really a shift. I saw this story as well. And just because I used to work for Salem-Keizer School District, they are weighing lower raises for teachers amid budget cutting. They have to go to the union. Good luck with that. To do this. But I remember back in the day, I was working for the district during the giant recession, the big recession during 2008, and everything kind of froze. And I remember everyone pretty much being like, we're good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. What they're asking for is the teachers union in the contract has a 3.5% cost of living raise each year for the teachers. They're asking the union to lower that to 1.5% because of the budget deficit. But the union, because of what you were just talking about, is a little leery because if you remember it back in 2008 time, the union gave up the pay raises and said, we're not going to take the pay raises because of the recession. And then administration said, well, let's add 10% to our pay.
See, this article doesn't talk about classified staff. It's administrators and supervisors and teachers.
Yeah. And they do a good job. They lay out the number. A teacher making $60,000 a year would see a normal raise of $2,100. Under this proposal, it would reduce that to $900 for the year for 2026. And I kind of go, and administrative side would kind of follow suit. But at the same time, as we know, a lot of the administrative side of our district is making six figures and more. So if you double that number for them, I'm kind of going, they're still getting a pretty hefty raise. Why wouldn't they just kind of offer to give a lot of that up, being they're making that kind of money?
If everybody gave a little, and I'm reading further down in the article, normally it's behind a paywall, Hunter, but it popped up. District leaders will begin negotiating a new contract with classified employees like bus drivers and classroom assistants. That would be facilities and maintenance and grounds. And that would set pay increases for 2026. So that's kind of the next step.
Yeah. Another proposal I'm seeing is the union wanting more furlough days.
Yep. I remember. Furlough days. Yeah.
But I agree on the school side of furlough days take kids out of the classroom, and I'm kind of going, and that's the last thing we want, especially because guess what? Oregon's, 49th in the nation in schools, so days off are not our friends. Come on.
I know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. If you want to read more, this article is over at KaiserTimes.com, and you're right, they do, it's pretty, they dig into a lot of it, and there's a lot of quotes from from district officials. I just remember having to deal with furlough days. I mean, I worked in high tech for years and years, and furlough days were a thing. Layoffs were a thing. You'd be laid off for a while and would have to go collect unemployment because you didn't necessarily want to go look for a new job, because then it's like, well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be called back. And so it makes it hectic. I was much, much younger, had much less responsibility. I could roll with those punches. But if you've got a family, I mean, it is hard. I get that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to plan.
Yeah. And nobody wants the budget cuts. And I sit here and go, you know, one way of bringing more money into these schools would be do a better job of educating students. And maybe people wouldn't be fleeing the public school systems the way they are. And maybe then you go talk to our governor and say, hey, let's not, you know, tax our people into oblivion so that we can, you know, stop having people leaving the state in droves.
Oh, stop it. That makes way too much sense. Knock it off, Hunter. We can't have you making sense.
We can't have this show making sense. Come on.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. I got to talk about this one story. It just made me laugh, so let's talk about it. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Home Comfort and Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, before I get to my funny, funny story, I did see this morning, and the hat tip to our friend Caleb Park out there. Number one, I don't shop at Target anymore. I haven't in a long time. And number two, I am so sick of these leftist activist awfuls.
Yeah. Oh.
That go in there. And this woman went into a Target and targeted an elderly Target employee named Jeannie, who was lovely, all because she was wearing a red Charlie Kirk Freedom shirt. She proceeded to harass and harangue this woman around the store. Jeannie was lovely. She has the patience of Job. I mean, I might have been physical altercations with anybody else. She had a captive audience with this woman, calling her a racist, calling her stupid, dropping F-bombs on her. And again, if you look at the video, this Jeannie looks like grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She's grandma.
She's everyone's
and she's
grandma.
Like, it's your opinion, ma'am. Have a nice day. She's trying to get away. She's a captive audience because she works there. So she has to maintain a level of professionality. It turns out that this Karen, this, what is her name? I'm not even going to say it. It's out there online. Is a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this woman anywhere near me or anybody I love. What a horrible human being she is. And again, they think they're being righteous. They think they're on the right side of this. Do they not see themselves? This is awful.
Yeah.
Except Jeannie is a saint and I love her and she handled it well. And I think she may have a lawsuit here against this woman.
Oh, I hope she does. I hope, number one, Target bars this woman from ever stepping foot in your store again. I don't care what side, you know, we know Target is a liberal organization,
but
at the same time, to have someone walk into one of your stores and treat your employees like that, that's a lawsuit for Target.
Yep, it is.
So Target needs to bar this woman from ever stepping foot in the store again. Her employer, if she actually is a nurse and she works at a hospital or for any medical facility, how could you expect any of your patrons to want to deal with this woman when she acts that way towards an elderly woman?
Yeah, well, X has kind of stepped up, and I've been seeing a lot about her employer. I don't remember what it is. Caleb posted her Twitter handle out here. The other side of this, and I know in Oregon, I think only one person needs to be privy as far as for what's being recorded. In California, it's a lot stricter. He says, if I'm not mistaken, what Ponce did is likely illegal, as you generally need consent to record a private conversations. And I love this, especially when you're harassing someone.
Well, I mean, this thing...
She needs to know that, you know, I'm harassing you and I'm recording this, which is... this is awful.
Well, she did it for social media clout.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's literally...
Absolutely.
And I'm sitting there going, there's a huge underlying problem with society today.
Ugh.
But yeah, if it is a two-party consent state for recording, number one, there's your lawsuit right there, legality of it. And number two, to a certain extent, it could be considered kidnapping because you cannot force... This woman couldn't just walk up. I mean, physically, she could leave. Risk her job to do it.
Risk her job. She couldn't really scream. She'd risk her job to get in this. And plus, just the demeanor, this woman was very kindly and she just seemed very sweet and was just gently trying to push back. But this woman kept escalating. Again, if this is you, if you look at this and you think this is okay or you've done this in the past, you're a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Because this stuff has got to stop. It's just so awful.
I've mentioned it that people like this, they target the elderly and they.
Yep.
Target women with children, people they feel they can victimize. And I'm sitting here going, and they need to start looking at it as I am an aggressor and you are my victim, because they believe they're righteous and they're the actual victim in this scenario. Let's flip it around, just like they did with the Uber driver or the DoorDash driver that filmed the naked guy. Let's flip all this and let people start feeling the ramifications of actually being the aggressor, being the assaulter, being the kidnapper, being whatever you want to call her, and make them realize that society was fooling you to think that you were the victim because your feelings are hurt by a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the dropping the F-bombs and in this woman's face. And honestly, I hope Target gives this woman a raise. And again, she's like, I can wear any red shirt I want. I mean, clearly Target had no problem with the shirt she was wearing. So again, you're a garbage person if you think this is okay. And if you actually do this, and we know a lot of this happened in Salem and people following people, and this was all during COVID when you weren't wearing a mask, how many people were assaulted by these beta men who were screaming and yelling at them because they didn't have a flipping mask on their face. So these people are still out there. Hopefully she gets a raise. Yeah, she was calm, cool, and collected. I don't know if I could have been as calm, cool, and collected as her. And she handled it well.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if some people out there set up some GoFundMes or you know, similar scenarios to say, let's get her into retirement. Let's get her a nice nest egg.
You know, that's true, because she looks like she's in her late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be nice to help Jeannie retire. So, yeah, don't be like this Ponce chick. Nurse Ponce. Nah. So anyway, all right. Well, you know, speaking of bad behavior, this story cracked me up so bad. All I have is at Lincolnshire Wildlife Park in London, Dateline, five African gray parrots had to be separated after they repeatedly swore at visitors and encouraged each other to do it even more. What began as a simple mimicry quickly turned into a cycle of one bird swearing and the others laughing. Keepers split them up to stop the behavior from spreading to the entire flock, proving that even parrots can be bad influences on one another.
Who gave these parrots social media access? I want to know.
I just think that's hilarious. Can you imagine going there and you're there with little Jimmy and little Susie and the parrot starts dropping F-bombs on you and screaming at you? And then all the other parrots are like, yo, dude, good. That's a good one. And joining in.
Parrots are like children. They're teenagers. Yeah, they don't have thumbs.
Parrots,
so how
are
jerks. How are they thumbing through TikTok? Come on, they can't be doing this stuff.
You think the parrots are doing it for clicks?
I wouldn't be surprised in this day and age. Everyone's doing it for clicks. Come on, cute cats, parrots.
And everybody's angry, and everybody, the bad language, because again, if you look at this video between Jeannie and this horrible human being, Ponce, the F-bombs are just flying. I see that everywhere. It's like, God, that's so lazy. Enough with that. It doesn't make you sound tough. I don't know what they're trying to.
It doesn't make you sound intelligent. It makes you sound like
lazy.
You can't come up with any good words. I think you and I may be the only ones left in the planet who can't, you know, drop those words willy-nilly.
Right. I guess the podcast could have them. We could insert them, but when we're on a regular old controlled air, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Although we can say more than we used to be able to. But I just think the parrots are funny, and I think the parrots are they're sort of emblematic away the whole world. I'm just sick of it.
Well, they need to go viral at this point. You know, just show us how ridiculous all of these kids running around and these adults and these beta males running around using that language, or women at Target, you know, harassing old people using that language sound. Maybe the parrots will show them what they look like.
Maybe these parents need to be taught a lesson. Okay, we're just about out of time. I do want to mention, too, I saw that President Trump is going to address the nation at 9 tomorrow Eastern Standard Time. I have no idea what it'll be about. He's not going to back down probably on that terrible tweet.
No, unfortunately, but I would hope he's not pulling a press conference just to, you know, defend himself on that one.
I don't think there's many more important issues to talk about. I'm sure it'll be about one of those. So, all right, everybody, that's it for us today. Enjoy. Stay safe out there. Be safe in this weather. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.